Welcome to the Empowered Whistleblower Podcast. Are you one of many Americans who are tired of people being bullied and discriminated? You are not alone. Bullying has a rippling effect on the person who is being harassed and everyone associated with the bullied person. The targeted adult or child may have been physically or psychologically bullied. They often bring home their anguish with them, and this can have a crippling effect on everyone associated with the one who's being bullied or discriminated. It's time to shed some light on how to reduce bullying in the school systems, how to create safe and healthy work environments for employees. I blow the whistle on how to protect yourself if you're being bullied and educate listeners on their rights if they're being bullied or discriminated. I bring in the best experts who provide empowering strategies, tips on resiliency, how to handle the experience of being bullied or discriminated, how to heal and overcome the effects of being mistreated. If you are ready to gain knowledge and insights on bullying and discrimination, you are in the right place. Welcome to the Empowered Whistleblower Podcast. Hey, welcome guest. Welcome everyone. What if somebody could read your handwriting and tell you all about your personality and your tendencies? What if they could tell you if you have victim tendencies, suicidal tendencies, or you have aggressive tendencies, or maybe you have something good in the middle? Well, today's guest is David DeWitt. He is a graphologist, and a graphologist is a handwriting expert. And why do I have him on the show? Because he does wonderful things in the schools with children. I'm bringing on David. Go ahead, David. Come on and tell people about you and your work.
Good morning, Dawn. My work is technically, I talk to high school kids all over. And of course, I've been doing handwriting. I don't want to age myself, but I've been doing it over 50 years. And I got involved in it when I was in the Army Intelligence Corps. And I started there. And when I got out of the service, technically, I tried to apply it to, you know, my work and so forth. I was in the insurance business, my own agency, for over 40 years. And when I would see somebody sign an application for insurance, I knew if I could sell them, I couldn't sell them. Mm-hmm. It's a very interesting field. So that's where I started. And how I really got interested in it was as I was leaving the military. What happened was we lost our mail clerk. The company commander asked me if I would take it on, which I did. And I noticed one serviceman's handwriting seemed to get smaller and smaller. At that time, I had a book on handwriting analysis by Dell. And in the book, it says if you embellish somebody's name, it shows you really care about them. If you make it small, you're kind of withdrawn from them. So I just kind of mentioned to this gentleman that, you know, did you notice every time your girlfriend writes you, your handwriting gets smaller? So he asked me what it meant, and I told him exactly what I just said to you. And I said, I hope you don't get a Dear John letter. And mm-hmm. about 3 months went by, and he said, Dave, I got that Dear John letter. So that's when I became a believer. Originally, I just thought it was, you know, another thing to do, and it was enjoyable and personal. But I've been doing it for all these years, and I can't believe the results that I've seen from it. So I hope that answers that question.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. Like go ahead, Dave.
But anyway, there's what handwriting analysis basically is the study of individual strokes to determine the person at the time of the writing, their physical, mental, and emotional state. And there's two schools of thought on it. One's called the Gestalt method. You just look at the whole handwriting. The other one is graphoanalysis, which I believe is more scientific. I'm certified in both areas. And I apply this more because we're definitely, it's more of a scientific way of looking at it. We study all the strokes. And by looking at all the strokes, we can determine, you know, what the person is feeling at that moment in time. We can determine if somebody set them off, if they're angry, they're aggressive, and so forth, just by looking at their handwriting. Mm-hmm. So anyway, that's where I started. And then, of course, as I got going along and doing people's handwriting, people knew I did it. And I was doing high school kids. is, and I noticed that as I was doing her handwriting, certain symbols started to fall in place. If you write actually more rounded, you're more friendly, more generous with your personality. People usually want to tell me they're going to be a teacher, a social worker, and so forth, or a nurse. And I said, there got to be more to this than that. And I came across a book by Dr. John Holland, who does the most research for the United States government. And he came up with six personality types, which are basically called realistic, investigative, artistic, social, enterprising, conventional, and all these different personalities. I decided to piggyback on his research, and I've been using it, and I wrote one book on it, on his theory. Mm-hmm. And which is handwriting analysis, discover your own and vocational/career potentials. And that was my first book, and I've been using that in most of all the schools I go to, and they give me the handwriting, and it's amazing how many the students will say to me, Mr. DeWitt, that is exactly what I want to be. And then a couple years ago, I was at a church, and I heard a man talk about bullying. Mm-hmm. His son took his life from bullying, and his name was John Helligan, and his son Ryan. Actually, you can go up on Ryan to find out about him. You go on ryanstory.org, mm-hmm. and you can find out all about him. But it was such a powerful presentation, and he mentioned he worked for IBM. He took his son's computer apart. And he couldn't find any suicide notes. And of course, the church was packed. I kind of raised my hand. I asked Mr. Helligan, did you find any other pieces of paper? And of course, he asked me why. And I said, I'm a handwriting expert. I can determine trauma, emotional signs, and so forth. And after that, I left that, the church. And I got thinking to myself, how can I apply what I've learned to help this man and others in similar situations? And I came up with an early signs to detect, it's always a potential, but you can look at the handwriting and come up with, if somebody has low self-esteem, mm-hmm. if they're, distraught, depressed, so forth, or they're seeking attention and they're loners and so forth. So basically that's where I am right now. I still do schools. I still talk to grad classes and so forth. And I teach the courses, adult education courses also in handwriting analysis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we've talked before this interview, you were telling me when you worked with insurance companies, by their handwriting, it told you that what? I'm going to let you share with the audience. It was good news.
Well, when I started selling insurance, it's actually helped me. I have to say that I did very well in the insurance business, put it that way. And I could tell, if somebody would be a harder sale or an easier sale. If you lean more to the right, you wear your heart on your sleeve. They're more impulsive. They're easier to sell. If you write straight up and down, which you find a lot of times nurses, teachers, and so forth, they're more objective. If you lean too far to the left, you're more withdrawn into yourself. This is where mm-hmm. the book on bullying comes in. A lot of times people are going through marriage problems or divorce and so forth. Usually you pull in, you become more self-centered. So all these things show up in your handwriting. You're going to get a general idea when you're dealing with people, where they're coming from. There's three zones in handwriting. The upper is, of course, the abstract area. It does with philosophy, concepts, and so forth. Then you have the middle zone, which I find most kids are in that area. That's the mundane, the here and now. And then we get into the material imagination area. We look at the descenders there. If the bigger the loops, the more friends they like. If they make, straight down loops to show they select their friends, they're more selective in dealing with people and places and things. So these things all help. It's hard to explain it totally over, on this podcast, but my two books, of course, I try to spell it out, make it easy, simple worksheets, mm-hmm. so forth, that you don't even have to take a course in it. You just read it. You should be able to do your own handwriting and find out what, for example, what kind of career potential. If the person's not interested in it, we can't, you know, my book's not going to help them. I mean, I can tell them where they want to go, but they're the only ones that really know what they really want to be interested in. So they got to be motivated too. So all these things taken, you know, together add up, and hopefully I can help somebody out there find a career. I mean, I've done people outside that said they got better careers from my book and so forth. I hope that answers your question, Don.
It sure does. It sure does, Dave. And so I know you were motivated after that story of the child taking his life. I know you're up in the Connecticut area, and I do believe you're out there going to schools and probably colleges. You're also doing some training courses, too, along with the two books you put out, right?
Yes, I do training courses. I do adult educations. Actually, I did one at UConn. We have a branch in Waterbury, Connecticut here. I've talked there. I actually talked. I taught courses and so forth. And it's which is really interesting. And one of the courses I have, which was really interesting, is there was the way you put your signature, which is your public self-image. And sometimes you make it bigger than your main script, which shows outside you project yourself better or make yourself look better than what you really feel inside. It, when you're home, you're more, maybe you might be more quiet or so forth. So, but anyway, I noticed that this one person had, it was a lady, and she had her first name, say it was Barbara, I'm just using it. She put the B and then spelled her last name. And I had mentioned that maybe 30, 40 years ago at Yale New Haven Hospital, they were looking to make a new director, and they happened to all have men for many, many years there. And there was a woman that just used her first name and then her last name. She used the initial for her first name, and they made her a director. And I was saying, and this woman kept raising her head up and down as I was talking, and then she handed the paper to me, and I found out she was the first woman director at Uniroyal in our area, which is a, you know, a chemical company and tires and so forth. So I found that interesting, you know, because you can find all these different things in handwriting.
That's amazing. Course,
I mean, you can find, you know, signs that, you know, when I talk to the high school kids and college kids, of course, for years they've been saying, Mr. DeWitt, the teachers would say to me, you never say anything, you know, negative. You know, why don't you show us some signs that the kids ought to be actually looking at? So both of my books that I came up with, I put, you know, a chapter in there on honesty, because your character is one of the most important things in your handwriting. And integrity stands right out. And, you know, if you're not honest, you're deceitful, all these things show up in your handwriting. And it doesn't make you a better person. You want to be the best person you can be. So these are other things that I look at when I'm talking to the kids, to, you know, try to get them on the right track. So I hope that answers the questions.
Yeah. So, you know, I remember growing up as a child, and my mother had this way of watching people's walk and telling, she'd turn around and tell me all about their personality. And a lot of times later on, I'd meet these people and she was so spot on. It's amazing, though, that you can sit there and look at handwriting and tell, you know, what is the person about? What's their personalities? Are they having, you know, tendencies that are negative or tendencies that are positive? So let's say if a child is having trauma in their life, or they're being bullied or discriminated, how do you find out through your writing, or through their writing, actually?
Well, what I actually do is look for, you know, certain signs that, you know, somebody that's being victimized is usually has a low self-esteem. They might show signs of moodiness, which their handwriting is like a roller coaster, is all over the place. You know, they might see signs of loneliness. They're just by themselves. If they lean more to the left, sometimes they're more withdrawn in their thinking and their pattern of writing. They might even write even smaller, you know, because they just want to, like, they're trying to hide. So I'm looking at all these different things in the handwriting. And by looking at it, you know, different signs, it's hard to explain over the air, but there's signs of trauma in the handwriting. You could see shaky things in their handwriting that they're being traumatized by something. And actually, when I decided to write my books on these subjects, I contacted, you know, people that were had written books on this, and I contacted a person, for example, who wrote Unlocked, The Secret World of Teenagers. He's a graphologist, a life coach. He's in the Brooklyn area, Yakova Rothenthal. And he said I could use anything in his book that, you know, would help, because we're all on a mission to try to help people, teenagers and so forth. So, and when I was halfway through my book that I was writing it, I was testing it in a school in Massachusetts, and I noticed that this one kid, because they gave me the handwriting ahead of time, he had all the signs that he had in his book. So I just mentioned I'd come to the school. I think it was about 13 years at this point. And I mentioned I come here, I usually stick in the positives, and I try to stay out of the negatives, but I can read signs of trauma and emotional signs and so forth. And then the student brought his paper to me afterwards, and he said, Mr. Wood, I noticed you mentioned trauma and so forth. Did you see something in my handwriting? Of course, at this school, once I read it, the kid, they hand the writing to the student. So the student gave me the thing, and I said, you notice this one sign? And I was actually testing my second book, the one on bullying. And I said, you're being bullied, right? And he shook his head up and down, and I said to the teacher, keep an eye on this kid, because he had everything. Everything's a potential, but you don't know what's going to set him off. So, but anyway, that's just an example, you know, in the bullying area. But in my book, I try to pick the things that, you know, from bullying to the victim, you know, what the victim's handwriting. Usually the person who's doing the bullying will have very aggressive handwriting. Writing a lot of anger, all his, like his eye dots will be slashes in them, which shows irritability, and you know, you'll see sarcasm, manipulation, all kinds of things in the handwriting that'll point that this person likes to manipulate, and it shows that he wants attention brought to himself and so forth. And also you look at the pressure of the handwriting. The deeper the pressure, the more emotional the response will be, especially if they lean to the right. They're just impulsive, and they just do things. And a lot of them, you know, have anger, or they have points in it. It shows nagging personality. It shows brutality. So all these things show up in the handwriting that I'm looking for, you know.
Yeah. Well, you gave a couple examples earlier, but do you mind giving more examples of what, like, I'll just say a healthy child's writing would look like?
Well, a healthy child's handwriting is more stable. It's written. Like, for example, if you write up straight up and down, it, some of this is universal. If it's optimistic, you write down here, you're pessimistic. You write straight across, you're more stable. What we're looking for is rhythm in the handwriting and a good rhythm. Of course, I always prefer cursive, but in today's world, they abandoned, you know, the pen and paper for the computer board, so you don't find a lot of it. But you find a lot of printing and so forth. And what I'm looking for is stability, like if they write straight across, they have good line appreciation. I mean, they want to make sure their handwriting looks good and more rounder, not angular, you know. These are the things that, you know, show a very, a child that doesn't, you know, he doesn't, he's happy with himself. He's healthy with himself. You're looking for a healthy look at handwriting, not handwriting it's roller coaster all over the place. A lot of anger signs, resentment, depression, so forth. So I hope that answers that question you just asked.
Yeah, it sure did. It sure did. So, you know, people can overcome, they can overcome bullying or discrimination. Maybe a year or two later, does their handwriting change?
Okay. Your handwriting basically changes every day, because people ask me that. Your physical and emotional signs change every day. If you got up and you were happy and you felt good about yourself, your handwriting will be probably not as heavy pressured, probably be more straight up and down, you know, won't be deep pressure in it. But if I called you up and I said something to you that offset you, you probably, your handwriting, you probably put more pressure in it. You can almost tell, and handwriting when I do high school, usually if the parent is causing a problem or the father's causing a problem, there's other signs in handwriting. It would tell you there's things going on in the household and so forth. And one of the students I had several years ago, in their signature, and it's what's wild about it is, I don't mean to say wild, but what's astounding about it is that I was never aware of, you know, for example, in this handwriting, this person did their signature about six times, just went over and over it. And I was looking at it, I saw other signs of pressure and what we call postosity, which is shows pain and so forth. And I told this person, I always try, like I said, I try to stress the positive. I said, you should love yourself more. You've got a lot of good traits in your handwriting and a lot of strong traits. But I see a lot of pain in your handwriting. And I found out later that this young girl was a high school, I think she was a junior or senior at that point, and she got kicked out of the house by her parents, and she went to live with her grandmother. Her grandmother threw her out, and now she was living on the street. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't believe there was homeless kids, and she'd come to school every day. And you could see all kinds of things that are affecting people in their handwriting that if I can be of help, then I might try to be positive about it and hopefully seek some help, you know, tell them to go, you know, check with a doctor or so forth, mm-hmm. and get some, you know, counseling. So basically that's what I see anyway.
Yeah. So I got a question. If somebody's writing the word, like for example, today, and I know in cursive writing, every letter is connected, but what if they do not connect the T with the O in today? What would that mean?
Okay, you're saying if they put the T down and they didn't connect it, depends on when you say that. If it's open, like say if you take away the O, you're spelling two for me here, okay. Usually there's nothing too bad about that. It's when when they make that O, they make a loop on the right-hand side that shows secret of this, and they put a loop on the left-hand side of that O, shows self-deceit. And if they have them both loops in there, it shows intentional deceit. It's one of the most dishonesty traits in handwriting.
Wow.
So they're trying to hold in, you know, they believe in something in their life. They've done it so many times, they start to believe it's true. And it doesn't make them a very happy person in the long run, you know, if they keep deceiving themselves.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, they're not the most perfect, you know, they're not being the perfect person that they could be, put it that way. And I mean, the character, again, as I say, character is the strongest thing you want to bring out in handwriting. So I hope that answered that question.
Yeah, that's incredible. I'm really enjoying talking to you, and I'm also learning. I've got a couple of books, and I also purchased your book about bullying and handwriting, and that's your second book. Your first one was about vocations based off of handwriting, but let's talk about that second book, and you just put that out not too long ago, and to just tell the audience, you know, what is the book about? I know we've talked about it a little bit, but in general, what is the book about and how can it help parents and teachers and counselors and anybody that wants to help children or anyone else?
Okay. Well, the second book, basically, when I put it together, I wanted it to be like an early detection sign. Like I said, everything is a potential. And a lot of times the parent, basically in my research, I found the parents usually the last one to find out what's going on with their child, you know, if they're being bullied, or, you know, the child himself, usually if they're doing the bully, sometimes the bully doesn't fall far from the apple, you know, the apple from the tree, put it that way. Mm-hmm. A lot of times the parents, you know, they follow the parents' example. So, but anyway, when I put the book together, I just wanted to make it early signs, you know, to help teachers when they're looking at, you know, they're doing a student or seeing their handwriting, something's changing in it, you know, like one of the schools I go to, when they do the handwriting, I have them write a certain thing, sentences, and they'll do it the first day of school, they'll do it the next month, and then in the third month, and then I usually come to to the school 3 or 4 months after school start, you know, been in going on. And I can see from the day they started, if they're bored with school or they're being, you know, if something's going on in their life just by looking at their handwriting. And I try, you know, like I say, I try to stress the positives in the handwriting. But you can see all these different things going on in the handwriting, you know, especially more aggressive looking handwriting is more like the bully, the more squeezed up handwriting. A little short, what we call descenders, show loneliness. Some of the descenders might have a loop, small loop in the bottom, which shows clannishness. They might only want to select a few friends. And you could tell just the way their handwriting is leaning, if they're, you know, being pressured on. There's all kinds of different traits in handwriting that show those kind of scenarios, put it that way.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So I can imagine you have many, many success stories and many great testimonials. Would you share a story or two?
Okay. Well, over the years, I've been looking at, you know, so many people's handwriting. When you see it's like broken or there's things going on, I'm not a doctor and not a psychologist. Mm-hmm. But some people definitely need medical attention. So over the several years, on several occasions, I would see somebody's handwriting. If I tap them on the shoulder, I say, I want to talk to you afterwards. And because I like to do it personally, not in front of everybody in the group. Mm-hmm. And now I've seen handwriting, like I say, it's either broken, like it's just like your body. And usually if you see it in a signature, it stands out more. And say it's in the middle, it could be something with your abdominal situation, or, you know, if it's in the head, you know, in the higher part, it could be in your head or heart, or, you know, different things like that, or in the bottom, so forth. Mm-hmm. And over the period of time, I would say to somebody, you ought to have a medical examination. Have you had a medical examination lately? And I've had some that would say, Dave, what are you asking that kind of question? And I tell them, I'm not a doctor and so forth. I'm not a psychologist, but your handwriting shows signs in your handwriting. When you write down, you should be putting more pressure. If it's lighter than going up, you know, there's something going on. They could be on medication or whatever. But I said, you ought to get checked out. Mm-hmm. And back to what your main question was, what have I seen? Well, so several people have called. One person called, didn't talk to me, talked to my wife, crying on the phone. She said, I'm glad Dave's mentioned to go get a checkup. I got early signs of cancer. I got operated and I'm all set, you know. And this hasn't happened just once. It's happened on several occasions. So, and other things that I've seen, like in young people getting married, if you go through the signature, you know there's probably a problem with divorce, so forth. And I was at a situation down in Mystic, Connecticut, where, you know, I was on a family type picnic, and this young girl, she saw me reading handwriting. She was off to the side, and she asked me if I would look at her handwriting. So, as soon as I saw her handwriting, I saw all this spasticity, which just shows pain and things going on in her life. And I said, I feel bad. I feel your pain, and it has to do with this certain person. I actually put my finger on the signature, the last name, and the tears came. I didn't mean to make her cry, but she was going through, you know, she only been married 6 months and was already going through a divorce. So
you
can see all kinds of things in handwriting that stand out. So that's a couple of examples, but I've had, you know, like I said, I come across several you know, where I told them to have medical exams, and they came back to me later and said, thank you for, you know, because they did find things wrong with them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, but those are a few, you know, but I try to stay, like I say, I try to stay to the positive part and not get too into them, you know, and try to answer people's questions that, you know, come up when I'm doing their analysis. A lot of people want to do it privately. And when they do it privately, of course, I let them ask the questions. Mm-hmm. You know, I usually with the high school kids, I don't get into the bottom zone of handwriting because the house is libidal, and, you know, I don't want to get into that kind of stuff, you know.
Sure.
But But adults, of course, they like to know everything a lot of times, you know. So,
I can imagine.
well, people want a lot of things they know, but they want to hear you say it, you know. So, anyway.
Well, what a beautiful gift that you have, and I know you're saving lives and you're helping people, and it makes me think, how some people have prenuptials or they have, counseling before they get married. It seems like they need to hire you to look at each other's writing and just see if they're compatible.
Well, I definitely like, personally, I like to do people I don't even see. And I always like to see a husband and wife because I always like to know what makes them tick, what actually drew them together. You know, it's usually if they're both on the same wavelength, sometimes it's not always good. Matter of fact, sometimes when you're the opposite, it's better, you know. And I had a friend of mine, a matter of fact, he's been married, probably 50 years now. And I went to his wedding. I've known him before he got married, and I knew both him and his wife, and I read their signature, and I said to him, I could see they weren't very compatible, put it that way. So I said, I hope, you know, I said, I don't want to put a damper on your engagement, but I said, but I hope you make it. That's all, you know. And so he, I always thought he stayed married because of what I said, but after about 13 years, I wrote to him one day and I said, I guess I was wrong about your it analyzed on your handwriting. I guess my evaluation wasn't right, but he always talks about it, you know, him and his wife, and but they stuck it out, you know. I think they were so completely opposite that she backed him up in everything. He wanted to do everything, you know what I mean? Some men, I think some men that do a lot of things, basically it's a woman behind them that's, you know, helping, you know what I mean, supporting. And she was a great support to what he wanted to be. So that's that was one of the interests of ones that's always, you know, close to me, you know, because I meet this guy every once in a while, and we get together, we go to the theater together and so forth. So but anyway,
That's great.
that's
Well, I'm sure there's a lot of people out there wondering what their handwriting would look like, you analyzing, and I'm one of them too, because I know one day I need to have you analyze my handwriting because I'm very curious about it. But you've told me in the past that standalone signatures cannot be analyzed. Can you tell me more about that?
okay. The school of thought of that is because when you do your handwriting, for example, say your name is John, say John Doe. There's no descenders in that handwriting that can tell us what how your feelings are and your imagination is in the material area or your physical area below. The other thing is we project our signature. You know, if you blow up your chest, kind of, you know, it's more egotistical, you know. Like if you look at a lot of politicians' handwriting, I won't even go there too far, but anyway, you can see a lot of things in that signature, you know, about a person, how they project themselves, you know, if they want attention brought on them, they're really determined to have you listen to them. If they're really open to you, like if you squeeze your letters up, you don't hold yourself open to people. You know what I mean? You have your own set of rules and the signature is this is the way I am. I don't put on, you know, it's the highway or my way. You follow me?
Yeah, I
So you see a
do.
lot of this kind, you see a lot of this in signatures. And where you place your signature, I love doing signatures because where you place your signature, you put it in the center. You usually want to be in control of everything that's going on in your life, and you want to be the center of attention. Usually, when I see high school kids putting it there, they're probably more party animals. You know, if you put your signature far to the right, you're more a forward thinker. And usually, when I have them write, I want them writing on actually blank white paper because I don't want to see any controls like lines and so forth. I want to see how they spiritually feel and how they react totally, you know. If, like I say, if you write uphill, you're optimistic. And if you write downhill, you're more pessimistic. Things come in your life that make you feel that way. And we're looking like if your signatures drop, on the end of your handwriting, you might feel sad, or you got things going on in your life that's making you feel sad at that moment in time. You can see fatalism, like people want to commit suicide by just the way they drop their handwriting in the end. So these are other signs, like the victim that we were talking about before, my second book on bullying. So, but if they ever want to get my book, there's ways of getting that too. I don't know if you're going to ask me that question, but
I am. But go for it. Tell the listeners the two books, and also how can they contact you and your website.
Okay.
And I'll have that information also on Blog Talk Radio website too. But go ahead.
Okay, my first book that I mentioned to you before is Handwriting Analysis: Discover Your Own Vocational/Career Potential. This book can be gotten on Amazon, it's Barnes and Noble, and so forth. It's you can get it off my website. Actually, both books at Handwriting Connections CT for the state of Connecticut. WordPress.com. Repeat, Handwriting Connections CT. WordPress.com. It also can be gotten from my, if they want to contact me, they can go up on my website. There's a place right on it. If you want to contact me, you can go right up there and let me know if you have any questions, how to get in touch with me, if you want me to come and talk to your school or whatever. It's all up there. Now, my second book, of course, is Bullying, Applying Handwriting Analysis to Detect Potential Danger Signs and Effects. I recommend this for every teacher and parents, because if they feel that one of their children are having problems, or you see young children, even young children, you can see signs early that they're having trouble, say they're dyslexic or so forth, it shows up in the handwriting. And again, that book can be gotten off of Amazon. It can got off Barnes and Nobles. That book is on Kindle and it's on Nook, that one there. So basically, it's the same thing. And they can go up to handwritingconnections.wordpress.com and pull me right up. So
that's fantastic.
I hope that's.
Yeah,
and
that does answer. But also, it's not just children you're studying and analyzing. You're also doing adults. So an adult like myself can reach you and say, hey, I'd like to have you analyze my handwriting.
Yep.
And they can reach out to you too. It's hard to let you go. I have two more questions because you have so much information. So what if you're left-handed?
Okay. The thing is, people, that's one of the questions when I usually give talks, they'll say, well, I'm left-handed. Does that make a difference? And a lot of times the left-handers don't know this, but I, of course, have a son and a wife who are both left-handed. But to answer that question, you just said, there's no difference in analyzing their handwriting. The only difference is in the handwriting. Most left-handers write from the left to the right and the right to the left 50%. The right-handers write, and these are on like your T's and your capital F's, but the right-handers are between 90 and 95% right from the left to the right. So that's, there's no difference. And sometimes I've watched them do it. They write sometimes uphill from underneath, but there's no problem analyzing, and so forth. I hope that answers that question.
It does. Yeah. And I know you do some traveling. How far will you travel? So somebody in Florida, I know you're in Connecticut, says, hey, I'll pay you to come down. Would you go to Florida?
Well, I have gone down to Florida over the years, and I've done it in resort areas, I usually, if they're willing to, pay my way down, I'd be glad to come, because, I have people ask me to, I've been asked to go to California. Coming up in July, I'm actually for an organization I belong to wants me to come and talk in Quincy, Mass. I'm on their agenda for a meeting of graphologists. So, they come from all over. They, so I'll go where they come. It depends on, I've done up Massachusetts where they pay me to come. So I prefer, within 100 miles would be better for me, I'm getting older, so. I hope I hope that answers the question because, it depends on, what they want me to do.
Yeah. Well, it has been wonderful, Dave, for you to be on the show. I'm sure the listeners have learned a lot in this short time period. I wish you well. And for the listeners, thank you for listening. You can get a hold of Dave by the information he's provided in the interview and also on the website. To everyone, have an empowering day. Thank you for listening to the Empowered Whistleblower. As your host, I will continue to bring in the best experts to share their knowledge and empower our listeners. Nobody has to feel like a victim. There are solutions to bullying and discrimination. Everyone deserves to be treated with respect and dignity. All our future shows will offer practical guidance so that anyone can choose to stand up to bullying and discrimination. You deserve to be happy, and life is all about choices. I always welcome comments and suggestions for new shows. Please comment and share your ideas, and be sure to come back for more inspiration and empowerment. I am Dawn Marie Westmoreland signing off and wishing you much happiness and empowerment in your day.